Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We started a little late tonight. We have some technical difficulty, but we are on the line. We hope that you are on the line as well. I want to make sure that those of you who are on the line can hear me. Area code 919-3447. Can you hear me?
Hey, Pastor, I hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you could hear me. We have some technical difficulty. We had a big storm come through recently, and it kind of knocked us off the Internet. But anyway, we wanted to remind you that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person services. You can come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. We do start at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. Now, this Sunday, this is fifth Sunday, we will not be in the sanctuary. We will be coming from home. You can still go to the Facebook page, and you can see the Sunday morning services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We will go live this Sunday morning from our home at 10 a.m. so you can see the services. I want to thank the youth department, all those who worked so diligently on last week to make sure that we had a great Youth Day program. I want to thank all of those who were involved, all the supporters of First Baptist who have done such a great job. Let us pray you for this night. We thank you for another Bible study. Thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the Internet, and those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go through our lesson tonight, that you will open our hearts and our minds and give us clarity through the Word of God, that we may understand what thus saith the Lord. We pray for those who are on our sick list, those who are in the hospital, those who are prison-bound. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. So we ask now, God, that you would be with them. Allow your Spirit to dwell just for a while. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our lesson tonight is dealing with the book of John. We're in the book of John, 12th chapter, starting in verse 44. Our lesson is entitled, The Word Saves. The Word Saves. The Word Saves. Starting in the 12th chapter of John in verse 44, and we're going to work our way down to verse 50 if time permits. As I said before, we started a little early, a little late tonight because we did have a technical issue. We were thrown off the Internet by a storm, so we had to reconnect. That took a few minutes to do that. And, of course, it just took time away. But we are there, and I want you to understand tonight that this lesson follows as part of the final week of Jesus' life, and the Passover was approaching. He had already made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He announced that the light was going to be with him for only a short time longer, after which they needed to be sure that they walked in light and not in darkness. John also reports that even though Jesus had given many evidences of who he was, many people still did not believe. Many others did believe, including some of the chief rulers, but they didn't publicly state their belief in Jesus because they were afraid of the Pharisees. Jesus' teaching in this week's lesson was his final words given publicly to his general believing audience. And it starts in that 44th verse, John 12 and 44. We're going to start there. That verse says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. As noted in the lesson before, it was Passover time, and there was a highly charged atmosphere in Jerusalem. During his teaching, Jesus, the Bible said, cried, meaning that he raised his voice in order to be heard. He cried, or he spoke loudly, saying, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Now, the word sent indicates that Jesus, he was a representative of the Father. And believing on him was, in a very real sense, believing on the Father. For Jesus spoke only what the Father directed. Every time we read anything about Jesus, he would always refer to the Father. He said, I come to do the work of my Father. He always spoke of the Father. He never spoke of himself. He always talked about the Father. Jesus was saying that everyone who believes on him actually is trusting in the Father. They're trusting in the Father for salvation. So when we look at verse 45, that verse says, And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You see, centuries earlier, God had said to Moses, There shall no man see me and live. You'll find that in the book of Exodus 33 and 20. And John himself had earlier written, No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Now, here Jesus says that he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Jesus was actually declaring that Hebrews, and he was the perfect representative to the Hebrews from the Father. Therefore, to see the Son of God is to see the Father who sent the Son. Later in the upper room, Jesus said to his disciples, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." That connection between Jesus and God is very clear. Believing in Jesus is the same thing as believing in God. And seeing Jesus is the same thing as seeing God. And this is why he said it the way he said it. This is why he said, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Because he wanted to draw that connection. He wanted the people to understand the connection between him and the Father, that he was a representative, a delegate sent by God. And he was not here for his own volition, but he was here. And so it says in verse 46, I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus describes the purpose of his coming into this world in terms of light and darkness. When he said, "I am come a light into the world," of course, light dispels darkness. As a light, Jesus came to earth bringing revelation. But as the light, Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness." In other words, anyone who trusted Jesus would not remain in the darkness of spiritual ignorance of God and moral depravity. And that's why he phrased it the way he said, "I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth in me shall not abide in darkness." Of course, darkness and light here are metaphors. We know that darkness simply means someone who is not knowledgeable, someone who has not received full understanding or wisdom. When one is not knowledgeable, one is walking around in darkness. But when one has light, when you can see where you're going, then it's easier to walk when you can see. In the dark, you stumble over things and you fall over things. And many times, many of us stumble and fall simply because we're walking in darkness and we have not embraced the light of Jesus Christ. So in verse 47, Jesus says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And that's what we're talking about tonight. Jesus' duty on earth was to proclaim the word, the words of his Father, so that anyone who heard them and believed in him would have eternal life. John 3:16. But there were those who refused to hear, and there were those who refused to believe Jesus' word. Therefore, Jesus said, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Hearing God's word and believing it are two different things. You see, hearing it simply means that we are aware of it. But when we believe in it, when we believe, it involves obeying the word. Then Jesus gave the reason why he didn't judge the ones who didn't believe his word. He said, "For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world." You see, what the Lord was saying is that primary purpose for coming was to save, not to condemn. But there is a real sense in which Jesus will judge. The Father has given all judgment to him. Whosoever this judgment depends on is man's relationship to Jesus and his word. See, man's eternal destiny depends on their relationship with the Son of God. In him alone is life and light. Apart from him, there is no life, only eternal condemnation. And this is why our lesson is called "The Word Saves," because you cannot be saved and not hear the word and not adhere to the word. The word has to be taken in. And for the word to have meaning in the heart and in the soul of one who hears the word. And when that word is taken in, that changes the individual. And it brings them into a better knowledge, a better understanding, a better relationship with God. Therefore, he says in the next verse, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, have one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus continued to say here that the way a person rejects him, continues to say that the way that a person rejects him is by not receiving his word. The Lord said, he that received or rejected me and receiveth not my words, have one that judgeth him. Jesus was saying that although his primary purpose is coming into the world was not just judgment, whoever rejects him would be judged. When Jesus said that the standard by which judgment will be carried out is the word that I have spoken. You see, judgment will be carried out according to the word. Everything depends on the word. That word is the power of God. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 1:18. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Every individual will be judged and punished according to the amount of light or revelation they both receive and reject. You'll find that in Romans 20:12. It is true that Jesus Christ is the standard in salvation, but the amount of light received and rejected is the standard in determining degrees of punishment. The fact that Jesus also said that this judgment will be in the last day is also significant. This refers to the great white throne judgment of unbelievers who shall be all condemned for rejecting Jesus Christ. You'll find that in Romans 20:11-15. But their punishment will be decided on the basis of their works or deeds. This implication of this is that there will be degrees of punishment in hell. Many years ago, there was a book, or actually a poem, called Dante's Inferno. I don't know if you've heard that. It's called Dante's Inferno. Dante, to make a long story short, is carried through the nine circles of hell. Talks about the nine degrees of punishment, the nine degrees of hell. And I don't know whether this has anything to do with the scripture or anything, but it just reminded me of the fact that there are different degrees in God's punishment. And there will be different degrees in God's punishment on that last day as well. In that 49th verse, it says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Whenever Jesus spoke, he didn't speak his own word, authority of God. Here Jesus clearly states, for I have not spoken of myself. Instead, he says, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus was a man who was under authority. He was under the authority of God, speaking what he had seen and what he had heard. His authority came from being a faithful witness of what he had seen and what he had heard. The word say here refers to the content of what Jesus said. And the word speak probably refers to the way in which his message was to be delivered. So not only did God give Jesus the word, the words in which to speak, but he also gave him the manner in which to speak them. He also gave them the temperament and the way to project that word so that that word would go into the heart of mankind. For he did not speak of himself. And because he did not speak of himself, he was able to take self out of the equation. And whenever you can take self out of the equation, you can concentrate on bigger things. He was able to remove himself from the equation and concentrate on God himself. And therefore, he delivered what God told him to deliver and in the manner in which God directed him to deliver those words. That's why those words say, he commanded me what I should say. Not only did he give me the words to speak, but he also gave me the manner in which to speak those words that would draw people that would come unto him and would come unto the faith of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 50, that final verse says, and I know that his, meaning God's commandment, is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus concludes his public ministry with a final appeal concerning life everlasting, which is to be obtained by keeping the commandments of the Father. Jesus said that God's commandments is life everlasting, or what we call eternal life. The word commandment refers to everything Jesus spoke about that leads to salvation and eternal life. Only by hearing and receiving the words of Jesus that came from the Father can we have eternal life with the Father. Therefore, he said, whatsoever I speak, therefore even as the Father said unto me, so I speak unto you. In other words, just like he spoke it to me, that's how I'm giving it to you. I did not add nothing. I did not take nothing away. Just as he gave it to me, I gave it directly to you. Jesus took great joy in his obedience in bringing the word. It was only by Jesus' obedient doing the Father's will could salvation come for men and women all over the world. So Jesus spoke, Father said. Knowing this, maybe we should ask ourselves two important questions. First, does our obedience to the Father result in speaking what he commands? And secondly, can he lead us to speak about salvation? Remember, the word saves. It is sometimes difficult for unbelievers to comprehend the reality of their lack of spiritual understanding. Many think they have insight into spirituality, but their knowledge is false. That's why it's important to emphasize the most important matter first. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to be saved, anyone must do in order to come to the Father. You'll find that in Acts 16 and 31. We must believe in Christ first in order to be saved. There is no other requirement. Once this decision has been made, the pathway to spiritual understanding and to learning to live in the light has begun. And this is why this lesson is so important for us, because so many people today have shied away from the Word of God or have moved away from the Word of God. We barely open our Bibles except for on Sunday. Our Bibles have collected dust. We have distanced ourselves so far from the Word of God that many of us don't even understand the simplest scripture. I'm not talking about those of you who go to church, and some of that is probably true as well for those. But I'm talking about the general masses of us. I remember the days that, you know, used to go into the home and there was a Bible on the table. It was the family Bible, and the Bible was on the table. It was always open. Whether it was done or not, it simply meant that the word of the Lord was in the house. It meant that there was a respect for the word of God, that there was a study for the word of God. And I think today, if we look back on what we have done in the recent years, we would have to agree that many of us have turned away from the word of God. We have shied away from the word of God, and we have just about completely forgotten the word of God. And we don't have any reference or reverence for the Word of God. And that's why it's so hard to get people to come to the house of God on Sunday morning, because it's more of a chore than it is a spiritual experience for them. It's more like a job than a spiritual experience for them. And people are not they're not excited about the Word of God. So this is why this lesson is important, because we talk about salvation. In the church, we talk about salvation and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We forget to mention, I don't think we do it on purpose, but we forget to mention that first comes the word. One cannot be saved without the word. The word must come into the heart, into the mind of the individual. And that is what makes the difference in the individual. When one is baptized and becomes a baptized believer, one must then get into the Bible, if not already. One must then begin to study the Bible and begin to have reverence to the Bible and reference the Bible from time to time to find solace for their soul. But there are those of us who have come into the house of God. We've been there for a long time now. And because we have been there for a long time and we have learned a few Bible scriptures and we have learned a few Bible studies, we feel like we have full knowledge of the Bible. But as the lesson says, a lot of that knowledge that we have is just fake and false knowledge. You'll be surprised how much idioms have been infected into the Word. People are using all kinds of sayings and saying, well, it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And if you would study the Bible, there are certain things you will find that are not in the Bible. It may sound good. It may be something that was passed down from generation to generation. But the fact is, they are not in the Bible. And because we don't study the Bible, because we don't have a full grasp or grip on the Bible, then people are able to come and confuse the Christian people. And they can tell you anything, and you'll believe anything. But we must understand today that the Word saves. And if we're going to save anyone, if we're going to bring anyone to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, if we're going to introduce anyone to who Jesus is, then we have to be acquainted with the Word so that we can acquaint them with the Word. I'm going to open the line tonight. I got a couple of questions. I'm not going to hold you long. But I'm going to open the line tonight because I do have one or two questions that I want to ask the people who are on the line. If you are listening over the Internet and you would like to call in, you could do so. Area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can participate in the discussion of the Bible study. I want to go to Deacon Fuller. Are you there, Deacon Fuller?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm right here.
Deacon Fuller, you know, it seems as if there have been times, I don't know if you've ever come across this, but there have been people who are very knowledgeable. Some of them have been very educated, successful. But why is it that you think that there are still people who just don't believe in the Word of God?
I think, to quote Nietzsche, man has killed God. I understand what that means from the standpoint that man has relied on technology. They have relied on medical breakthroughs. They have relied on doctors. Folks tend not to gravitate to going toward the elders for prayer and laying hands on, and have become dependent on the. That have become dependent on the breakthroughs of the world, the technology, the way that the world operates, and this is critical now for the church to really speak out and voice and represent God in His fullness, because I think a lot of the times too Christians are relaying to non-Christians that. They are doing the things that the world is doing, and they can't. Folks who don't know God cannot differentiate between the two. So I think that's what's going on.
But my
main thing, and COVID is a great example. In the sense that folks, yes, we should get our shots. We should get our boosters. We should get these things because this is scientific data that proves this. But what folks have left out the equation is the power of fasting and praying.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. These are some things that I have witnessed in my own life. I have witnessed that for a lot of people. I tell you what really interests me. I was thrilled the fact that my doctor, who's now retired, was a man of God. I was surprised at that. And it was good to know the man who was my doctor was also a believer. And I think a lot of times you'll find people, particularly people who are in science, they don't have a full belief in God, or they don't believe in God at all. Like I say, some of the most so-called intelligent people who have lived were atheists. Albert Einstein, supposedly the one of the smartest men in the world, he was atheist. I just wonder why it is that so many smart and so many well-to-do, and I know there are other folk who are not, but I just wonder those who have the knowledge, who have the full knowledge of a lot of things, cannot come to grips with the knowledge of God. Let's go to area code 609, last four digits. Go ahead.
Can I interject one thing? One thing that's scripturally based is that a lot of times men are leaning to their own understanding. And that's what I think that's really key in what you just said. But I won't cut you off. I'm sorry. I just had to add that.
No, you're right. I agree. That's why I said it, because I wanted to get some kind of feedback. I appreciate that. Area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. I want to ask you a question, one of the questions I brought up earlier in the lesson. Does our obedience to the Father result in speaking what God commands? Do you think that that's part of what we're doing now?
In some ways, yes, and let me just try to explain it. And I'm going to speak only for myself. Like, when I first started to read the Bible and I didn't understand it, and I'm saying that this sounds far-fetched, you know, and then as I got more into the Word, I began to believe the Word, I have faith in the Word, have faith in God completely. Well, I can't say that because I still straddle a fence sometimes. I'm going to be honest about that, you know. But just understanding the Word, how to understand the Word and to live by the Word is still a very difficult part of me. So I would say even with others, I think it's a very difficult part. I've heard people say, I believe in God but not Jesus. And it's very difficult for me to explain to them, you know, when they are so bent, can believe in God, but I can't believe in Jesus, and not with a real explanation of why they can't believe in Jesus. So the Word for me commands me to try to live by it. And as I get more into the Word and have a little bit more knowledge of what the meaning of what I'm reading in the Bible, I can live by it.
Thank you so much. That was a good answer. I didn't expect that, but I thank you so very much for that answer. That's a great answer. Great answer. Area code 757, last four digits 5803. Are you on the line?
I am. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. How are you? This is Sister Francis.
No, right, you just spoke to Sister Francis.
I'm sorry. This is Sherry.
Sherry, yes.
Sherry, how are you? You doing fine?
I'm well. Yes, thank you.
The lesson that I spoke on tonight, the word saved, do you think that the church does not put enough emphasis on the word? I've heard people say, I went to a church service yesterday and the spirit was so high that they didn't even preach. And I wonder about that. Do you think the word has become secondary in the church now?
I think that depends on the individual and how much they have their heart into it. Because I know for me, and I'll speak for me, because I'm eager and I want to learn and I want to understand, because even, you know, reading the Bible yourself, sometimes you don't get the full understanding. So that's why I do like Bible study and I do like to attend church, because you need that leadership, you need that understanding. But I think if you go in with an open heart and a full heart and a heart of wanting to get to know, I think, you know, you'll understand it and do better and do as God wishes you to. But if you go in and you're not, I don't want to say because not be fully there and then go in and receive it and get it, but there are some that just, you know, that individual maybe may not be ready for it. I hope I'm answering mm-hmm. your question right, but they may not just be ready for it, or it's not their, I guess, time yet.
Yeah, but isn't it the church's responsibility to share the word anyway, whether they're ready for it or not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you find a good church home or a place that's, you know, explaining the word and into the word, then you're going to receive, you know, get something from it, I guess.
Okay. I was just wondering mm-hmm. because, like I said before, I hear so much emphasis on a lot of programming in the church and a lot of things that people are doing, and very seldom do they speak about the word. They talk about the word and how good. If you, you know, you could ask people what song did the choir sing? Oh, that choir sung that song, and then the deacon prayed that. But what did the preacher preach about? Well, something about Jesus,
yeah.
You know, and it's just amazing to me how people are soon to forget the word. Deacon Fuller, having been in the ministry now for over 30 years, one of the things that impressed me that I'd learned early, doing, I guess, around 96, 97, 98, I was doing chaplaincy in prisons. I was going into the prisons, and I was preaching and teaching those who were in the prison. And one of the things that floored me, and I guess it shouldn't, is that, you know, sometimes we don't even pray until we get in trouble. And it seems as if people in general, seem to have a better open heart for Christ when they're incarcerated. Why do you think that is? Just because they're in trouble?
There's limited. And I think there's limited things that you can do in prison. And one thing, and I can speak, you know, I just think, well, as a black community, this is my opinion, is that I was thinking about this. I was telling somebody else this. Regardless of what that person has done or that is incarcerated for black folk, our foundation historically has been the word of God, has been the Bible. When we were oppressed in slavery and when we were being, you know, our forefathers were being brutalized and foremothers raped, we had that premise of God that we turned to, in which we, you know, we were able to get music. We were able to, you know, the music developed from these plights, and that's always been the foundation. Now, when our generation's going down, I mean, even in the earlier times when folks went to prison, I think people fall back on that. I think people go back into the times when the gospel was being preached in their lives, and they were introduced. I mean, as far as us as a black culture, we're typically introduced to Jesus somewhere in some shape, form, and fashion. And I think they go back to those things, those premises there. And I'm trying to think of an example. It eludes me right now, but there is, you know, even in the Bible. When the gates flew open for Paul,
mm-hmm.
they fasted and prayed. They went back fasting and praying. But you know, they were already embedded in the word. But that's just mm-hmm. a perfect example. Who's to say? And I believe God can do. And who's to say that when fasting and praying in prison, the doors will fling open in, you know, maybe not in a physical way, but maybe, you know, the way of judicial, you know, where they, something is overturned. Mm-hmm. So we tend, and I think it's human nature. We tend to do things last minute when we resort to all else fails, we'll go to what we know.
And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with coming to Christ in prison. I didn't want to make that connotation. There's nothing wrong with that. But I found out that so many people had no thought of God until they got in trouble. And then, of course, the first thing they want to do is to get into the Word. And, of course, the Word has been there all along. And I think one of the things that we have to do as parents, as our children grow, as you said before, to entrench them in the Word from the beginning so that when they do get in trouble, you know, or if something should happen, they know where to go. They know how to, you know, deal with whatever problem that they find themselves in. I'm going to ask each of you a question before we go tonight. Now, this lesson is the last public speech that Jesus made before his crucifixion. He did not speak anymore before the crucifixion. Do you think this message was received, and how is it translated today?
Can you say that again, Pastor?
Okay. This lesson tonight, this scripture, John 12:44 through 50, mm-hmm. deals with the last speech, public speech of Jesus. He would not speak anymore until after the crucifixion. So this was his last public speech, last public sermon, if you will. Do you think that word was received, and how can we continue? That word today.
I mean, we have many ways. I mean, attending church. Now we have a lot more services and the word across the internet, not just on television. And it's being able to trust the word, being able to put the word out there consistently. And encourage people to continue to read the Bible, because now the word is written. So if you mm-hmm. read the Bible, just like some may believe in God but not Jesus, they're going to take pieces of it, you know, to suit their own lifestyle or their own beliefs. But just putting the word out there, and someone like me maybe, you know, like I do with my grandchildren, and no matter what my children might believe, I keep putting it there without beating them with it, but just putting it there, just keep saying it, not quoting scripture so much, but just letting them know, you know, what says the Lord and how they should respond in their own life and with their own children, putting that foundation there just a little bit at a time.
Amen. Amen. That's the way it's done, a little bit at a time. That's the way it's done. Sister Sherry, what do you think about that question?
Can you actually ask the question
sure,
one more
sure.
time?
No problem. This scripture that we just talked about tonight was the last public speech of Jesus. He would not speak again before his crucifixion. Do you think this speech was accepted, and how do we continue to do what he has asked us to do in this particular speech?
Yes, I do believe it was accepted. Probably more so, though, after he was on the cross. You know, people saw, you know, what was going on and what happened. So, you know, this one is a little hard, but, you know,
well,
I think it was accepted. I think that the more, like you were saying earlier, the more we read, the more we get into it ourselves, then, you know, it brings you closer and it helps you to understand. So, you know.
I think Sister Frances brought up a very interesting point when she said, now we can read it. We have the Bible. They didn't have a written word. Well, they may have had a written word back in those days, but it probably was not available. There may have been scrolls in temples and things like that, but people didn't have the written word in their own possession. But one thing that we have that they did not have is the written word, and we can carry it anywhere we go, and we can open it up anytime we want to, you know. So I guess that has a lot to do with it as well. Deacon Fuller, same question. Do you think, first of all, do you think that this last speech of Jesus was well accepted?
Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry. That broke up on me.
This last speech, this last scripture, or this last sermon, however we want to put it, by Jesus, before he was crucified, do you think it was well received? And how do we continue to do as this sermon or these scriptures stated?
It was received, but, you know, for people just didn't. We have the luxury of knowing what the outcome was going to be, because we have the whole story when Jesus walked there. But I think people received it, but they still had their doubts. They still had their fears, because they were looking for a king. They were looking for Jesus to be a king like David on the earth. And there's a lot of folks that didn't understand that that wasn't what the outcome was to be. But I think it's well received for us, the true believers here now, because we know the whole story, and two, we have lived, I think folks on this line have lived long enough to see how we have travailed with Jesus on our side to get through a lot of situations. I think everyone on this line has probably had a tough situation, a tough spell to go through. So I do think it's well received.
Well, I thank all of you tonight. You have done a wonderful job. I think all of you shared some very important points. I think that what I heard from all of you speak is the fact that, one, we must get the word first so that we can pass it on to the next generation and to others who we may come in contact with. And secondly, we must understand that everyone is not going to be receptive to the word. However, the Bible declares that only through the word can mankind be saved. And I think that's the selling point. I think that's the thing that we must remember whenever we're talking to someone who is not knowledgeable. I think that's one of the first things that we need to speak to them about. Is the fact that, you know, one cannot only, you know, you can't, I heard Sister Frances who said that there are some people who said they believe in God, but they didn't believe in Jesus, you know. And I've heard people say that as well. But we counter that by saying that you cannot believe in one without believing in the other. It's just not possible. And one who has divided them does not understand the concept of Christianity. And therefore, their belief, whatever it is a false belief. Now, you may not have to say it. You might not be able to say it like that because you don't want to offend anyone, but that is basically what the truth of the matter is. One who says that they believe in Christ, believe in God but not believe in Christ, they have a different concept of what religion is all about. And so I think that we, as the ambassadors, just like Christ, we must speak the words of the Father and not of our own, and speak the words that he has placed in us, tell our story about what God has done for us, and then go in the word and then show them what we're talking about. And I think that will encourage others to study the word and to be more active in Bible study and more active in reading the Bible on their own personal time, because that's the only way we're going to learn. You can't just do it in church. You have to do it at home as well. We have to read. We have to do homework, you know, just like they did the kids doing school. We have to go home and study as well as study in the church. So I thank all of you for being on the line tonight. I pray God's blessing upon you. Don't forget, we will not be in the sanctuary this coming Sunday. We will be live on Facebook. You can see us on Facebook. Minister Lester, Minister McCullough, and I will be live on Facebook, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. We will not be in the sanctuary. So, Deacon Fuller, would you give us a prayer before we leave tonight?
Yes, I will. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for what has been manifested through Bible study tonight. Lord, we thank you for having our questions answered, Jesus, and Lord, and seeing things in a different light. Lord, we want you, Lord, we ask you that you bless everyone that is on this line, Lord, and those disciples who are not able to be in attendance of this great Bible study today, Lord, that you protect, that you guide us, you keep us safe, Lord, and that we just invest in the word, Lord, and just embed that word within our heart, Lord, and that our minds and souls be cleansed of everything that's carnal, Lord, and have the spiritual manifestation of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost within everything that we do and every decision that is made, Lord. And how, and last but not least, Lord, as it's Corinthians, Lord, says, Lord, just keep us in the spirit of love and understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank all of you tonight. Have a good night. We'll see you Sunday morning on Facebook Live.
Going through right now.